your number two, Princess Command. She's by Command. She loves the Gosford track. Two runs here for a win and a second. Loves a soft track. Three soft track runs for two wins. Now, I'm gambling on her a little bit because it's a month since she run. Not that that worries me, but she only run 9th of 11 at Warwick Farm last start. Did make a little bit of ground, got beat four lengths. Mooney Valley, back on Feb 12, she got badly held up in a race there after coming from last. Flew home to get beat 2.5. Got beat half a length at Randwick back in January, on Moss Star. And didn't get beat far at Canterbury prior to that. Now, Andrew, one day here at Gosford, it's before all those runs. She was a certainty beaten in a race. Her big worry is she gets back near last, but that's her style of racing, and she comes with a big run. So she's obviously, you said the other one was favourite, Credit Card Miss, who's got very good form. But I think this, you could have tipped any of them short ones as the best bet of the day, but at a little bit better value, I think number two is a good thing. 7 Credit Card Miss, trialling well, good form last time in. 1 Italian Sun, got a ton of speed, barrier 1, and number 5 Stasher, 2, 7, 1, and 5.
The 7th, a benchmark 60, takeout 5 and 9. Modda, number 8, the favourite here, $2.20 over Iron George at $3.40.
$2.20. You wouldn't believe it. I got $10 one day at Gosford or Wyong it was. Should have bolted in.
Not today, you're not.
That day. And run third at Gosford. And then his last start, I did have something on it, Andrew, at $4.40. It bolted in at Kembla. Bogart's made there. Another good one for Gerald. Gerald's got 3 or 4 real good chances here today. James Innes to claim 2. Bit tricky draw out on the outside of the field, but she does get back usually. Comes with a big run. Number 4 Upstart, wrote, owned by John Massara and some of his a group of syndicate members. Won well for Chris Lees the other day at Scone. Chris has got it him these days. And he was very impressive up there. 1 Iron George, heavily back when it won here last meeting. And number 6, Worldly Impact. 8, 4, 1, and 6.
And the last race, 8, takeout number 4. The favourite is Slade Amigos, number 5, at $3.60.
I think it'll be hard to beat. He loves to lead. And he's got very good heavy track form. I know it's only a soft track today, but he's had 2 runs of heavy for a win and a second. So the soft will be no problem. Last start here at Gosford, he got beat 3 lengths, should have finished a lot closer. He got badly cut out at the 150. Prior to that, he was placed at Wyong. He likes to lead, as I said. Aaron Bullock to ride, drawn out wide, but I'm sure they'll go forward and either lead or sit outside the leader. Number 7, Red Ochre. Claimed by Michael Costa. Got a good chance. It led the other day when it run 3rd at Hawkesbury. 3 Jack Strikes Back and number 2 Spinning Goal. 5, 7, 3, and 2, Andrew.
5, 7, 3, and 2. Okay, best?
Only the one good thing, mate. Race 6, number 2.
Race 6, number 2. All right, mate, we'll hear...
Before I leave you, on a very sad note, Phil Gunter, the owner of Big Money, and the breeder passed away, I think it was in the early hours of this morning. Robert Thompson phoned me early this morning because he was a great friend of Robert's. Robert rode the horse all the way through, and Rod Northern, of course, who trained it, was a great friend, and he's been battling a cancer for some time, Phil. I had a lot to do with him. He was the best contributor to charities, you know, when you run an auction or something like that, that I've ever had anything to do with. So very sad, mate.
Yeah, condolences go out certainly to Phil's family for sure from all that knew him in racing. Have a good day.
Thanks, mate. Beautiful Gary. Day. Plenty yep. of winners, we hope.
Thanks, Gary. Gary Harley. Look, just hold on, Gary, if you're still there. Just hold on the line. We'll take you off air and just wrap up something with him. Let's take a break. They're all our race previews. The racing previews will continue after 11 with Peter Ellis. We'll go back out to Randwick with the very latest there with the boys from 11:30. In a moment, though, it'll be Tab Talk.
Yeah, yeah, you up front.
You've had every success in your career. Why join this competition now?
Simple, mate. You need to cash in on the rewards while you're at the top.
So, the chance to share in 20 million was too tempting?
By oath it was.
Here at TAB, we've put 20 million TAB Rewards points up for grabs. For your chance to win, join TAB Rewards today or opt in if you're already a member. But hurry, competition closes May 29.
T's and C's apply. Visit tabrewards.com.au for full details. New South Wales permit number LTPS 1500091. Gamble responsibly.
The Inglis Australian Broodmare and Weanling Sale presents a bumper catalogue featuring reductions of Goorey Park Stud, Think Big Stud and Bellevue Park Stud's mare dispersal. May 1 to 4 at Newmarket, Sydney. For information and catalogues, visit inglis.com.au.
TAB Saddle Up Sundays. Visit our most exciting regions, like the northwestern districts of New South Wales.
Gunnedah Jockey Club saddles up on Sunday, May 8th. Come along and enjoy Gunnedah Cup Day. There's a free barbecue for the first 100 through the gate, along with fashions on the field and activities for the kids. Sky Sports Radio and Sky Thoroughbred Central have the mounting yard covered at Gunnedah, Sunday, May 8th. Visit gocountryracing.com.au.
There are gates open, they're off and racing. On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for TAB Talk.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain.
There it is! Adam Scott, a life changer.
It's the first time he's finished about a GP in Phillip Island. Mark Marquez does it in style down under.
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to TAB Talk.
Yes, it is indeed a public holiday Monday, but TAB Talk continues, and so too does Trent Langscale. He's like a well-oiled machine. He says, come on, boy, you're running late. Let's get going with TAB Talk on this Monday. Morning to you, Trent.
Good morning, Andrew, and certainly not you're the boss, so I'll just let you just go about your business.
No, mate, we just roll along TAB Talk. Looking forward to chatting AFL, big game down in Melbourne, NRL, want to get to that because we've got some good ones on today, and the A-League, well, we know the Westerners are in the final again.
They are a tremendous semi-final last night, unbelievable. Brisbane leading 3-0 inside the first 30 minutes, Wanderland in absolute shock. They managed to get it back to 3-2 at half-time, and then leading 4-3, there's 10 minutes to go, thinking, OK, they've just got to hold on. All of a sudden, Brisbane get a late equaliser. It's 4-all. They go into extra time, but Western Sydney managed to get across the line at 5-4. So it will be Adelaide United against Western Sydney Sunday, 4 o'clock at the Adelaide Oval. Both of those teams looking to win their first ever grand final.
We'll get some markets on that also here on TAB Talk, but as we normally do on a Saturday, Nevesha said, hang on, I want to hang some time too, because we've got a big meeting out at Randwick for Anzac Day with free admission to all. Navesh Ramdani, this weather, it couldn't be any better.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. Absolutely fantastic day. Forecasting to get to about 24, mostly sunny all day, and it's an absolutely gorgeous day.
It is. Now, we've been talking about it, as I say, free admission there. You've got the two up. Trent, we often play two up out the back here, which isn't... I should have probably said air. But you can do it today out there, Trent, and Navesh, between 12 and 3.
That's it, Andrew. We made some special provisions to allow for the day. Obviously, a special day today, commemorative day, and we sort of give thanks to all the heroes of our country.
Yeah, for sure. And there will be the Anzac Day service out there with all that is normal around that. And we've seen and heard many of the stories earlier today from Seb Costello there at Anzac Cove. It was just great listening to him where it all began, sadly, 101 years ago. This track, you've marked it a soft 7.
Yeah, Andrew, soft 7, penetrometer 5.96. We've had a little bit of drying of that dew this morning, although it's not entirely dried off. There's still a little bit of moisture on the leaf, but that will soon dry away, certainly before the first race. And look, soft 7, we'll see how the track plays. I'm pretty sure it's going to play really well. We'll just see how it dries and whether we get to a 6 or not. But I suspect it may stay in the 7 for most of the day. If there will be any improvement, it will probably be late in the afternoon, and we may just leave it there for the rest of the afternoon.
All right, we'll wait and see, but at least we've got fine and sunny conditions and around 23 degrees. Thanks a lot, Navesh.
Thanks, Andrew. Have a good day.
Navesh Ramdani out there. By the way, for those doing the form for Randwick, a late rider, race 5, number 13, all about magic, is Kaylin Nisbet. Race 5, number 13, Kaylin Nisbet. As we've been telling you right through the morning, The racing is spread far and wide. There's plenty of places for you to go and celebrate and honour what has occurred through the years on Anzac Day. There's races at Armidale, Bathurst, Cessnock, Deniliquin, Gosford, Kempsey, Mwillimbah, Ningen, and of course Royal Randwick. So plenty for you. Well, Anzac Day also a major honour day. I don't know how many years it's been going, Trent. The Collingwood Essendon traditional Anzac Day game?
1995 was the first one. It was just supposed to be for Collingwood and Essendon, and it ended up being a draw, and they've played on Anzac Day ever since. And Collingwood, they hold a 12-8 advantage over the Bombers with that one draw in 1995, but it is widely regarded as the most important home and away game in the AFL, and obviously due to, as we know, with Anzac Day today.
Yeah, for sure. And Neil Cordy, our regular on a Monday, is joining us. Morning, Neil, from the Daily Telegraph.
G'day, Andrew. How are you?
I'm well. I must admit, I should tweet a photo. I'm sitting here with a Collingwood training jacket on that fits me. So you know where I'm coming from today, but I'm not that confident either, Neil,
well,
I was going to say,
you'd be like the other hundreds of thousands of Pies fans. You'd be very, very nervous because, really, Essendon's got a free swing at the Pies today. Nobody really expected them to do anything. And now they'd be particularly enjoying the Pies being on the road. Nathan Buckley's job being questioned, and it's just it's funny because 2 weeks ago we were talking about this match as being a dud fixture for Anzac Day, being a standalone game, but gee, that's changed very quickly with Collingwood's woes and Essendon jagging that win against Melbourne a couple of weeks ago. So it's changed pretty quickly.
Well, what are the odds telling us, Trent?
Well, just going through what happened from this time last week when we had Neil on with Cozzy. So Collingwood were $1.40 and Essendon were $3. And then towards late Friday night, Collingwood were $1.28 and Essendon were $3.75. Then the shocks come out about Travis Cloke not playing. Mm. We'll get Neil's thoughts on there. I know he hasn't been in great form, but still he is a top forward there for the Magpies. And all of a sudden now you've got Collingwood $1.36, Essendon $3.25, the line is 26.5, and in the margin, Benny, you've got the Magpies under 39.5 at $2.20, over 39.5 at $2.75, the Bombers under 39.5 at $4, and over 39.5 at $18. So Collingwood's still the warm favourites, Neil, but just in your summation, are you surprised that they did eventually just bite the bullet with Travis Cloke and omit him?
Very, very. There's times to give Blake's debuts and there's times to give Blake's debuts. And Anzac Day isn't one of them. Mason Cox, who's only played 24 games of AFL football. I'm speaking of the 211-centimetre American. He's played 21 games in the VFL and he's going to be tested. His first game is on the biggest stage possible, probably outside finals and the grand final. So it's an enormous challenge for him. And the thing about the Anzac Day fixture that we've seen over the years, that form can often change. Form goes out the window on some of these big occasions. And this big occasion might have been the thing that could have changed Travis Cloke around, because he's had a run in the VFL yesterday and he only got 4 kicks, 1 handball and 2 goals. So his form hasn't improved by going back to the VFL. So I'm frankly very surprised that Nathan Buckley's made this move.
All right. Well, let's get down to it. I mean, who's going to win it?
Look, I think that the Magpies should win it, but if they don't get on top of Essendon early, that Essendon support, every Bombers fan I've spoken to just can't wait for this game because they've got it's a completely stress-free environment. So there'll be plenty of Essendon fans there. If they get the crowd into it and those nerves that Collingwood would already be experienced will just get ratcheted up another 4 or 5 times. So if the Pies are to win this, I want to get on top of Essendon early and not give them a sniff.
Maybe just on the result, Neil, also ask about the Anzac Day medal. We've got Adam Treloar, the $9 favourite, Scott Pendlebury, Steel Sidebottom, and David Zaharakis, all at 10, Zach Merritt, 15, and then you've got Taylor Adams and Brennan Goddard of the other named players at $17. And can sometimes throw up a curly one, the winner of the Anzac Day medal. Just one from there, if we haven't mentioned it, is there a player that you think could win at perhaps a bigger price?
Yeah, well, look, I, the market's pretty much right on. I think Collingwood are still obvious favourites in this one, and Scott Pendlebury's been a proven performer in this particular event. Adam Treloar would be relishing having come from GWS, where they've played in front of a handful of fans for most of their careers, to be on this big stage in front of a packed house, he will be, and knowing the kid pretty well, he will be absolutely relishing this this stage and this scenario. So I like him. But it'd be interesting to see where the value is. I'm sure it'll be on the Essendon side, but a Brendan Goddard, who's been a noted big game performer as well, he'd be worth taking a look at as well.
Yeah, Brendan Goddard, $17 there. And if you think that Joe Danaher could kick a bag this afternoon, he's a $21 chance. And well, you've referenced it, and so has Hoss, about the fact that if there's any sort of confidence that Essendon get early on in the game and all of a sudden Collingwood could start getting jittery, it's almost similar to what occurred over at Domain Stadium last night with Fremantle against Carlton, that yes, both sides were 0-4, but the Dockers are expected to win. All of a sudden the Blues are hanging around, and you get to the last quarter and wouldn't you know it, Carlton end up eventually winning.
Yeah, you could just see that in the way that the Carlton players, they were clearly in just enjoying it, and the stress levels on the Dockers players were just palpable, and that just, as you say, the closer it got to the finish line, the tighter they got, and that's just an amazing, the Dockers are just an amazing scenario, because this time last year I think they were 5-0 and went on to win the first seven without being defeated. So this is one of the biggest turnarounds in form I've ever seen for a team that were minor premiers to be starting like this, and it doesn't get any easier for the Dockers next week, because they've got Adelaide at Adelaide Oval, who you'd expect to win there as well. So it's amazing times for Ross Lyon.
I've been trying to get Tab to open up a market on this sort of stuff. I mean, what odds would you have been given if you said to someone the first round of the finals last year, you said Fremantle are going to lose the first five and indeed maybe six games next season? You would have been locked up, Trent.
Well, I'll give you this, Andrew. Fremantle were 500-1 at the start of this season to have the most losses. They're now $11. And unbelievably, after the first round when they got thumped by the Western Bulldogs, someone out there just had a $20 spare in their pocket, and they had that on Fremantle at 500-1 to have the most losses. So not trying to be gleeful about the fact that Fremantle are 0-5 and Nat Fyfe walked off with crutches yesterday, but all of a sudden they've really just completely bottomed out, as Neil's touched on.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for them to lose their three games at home, is astounding. Gold Coast had their first ever win against them. Now they got beaten by West Coast as well, who were obviously in a bit better form. But this is just staggering.
Yeah, it is. Mate, we'll leave it there. We'll watch it with great anticipation. Collingwood and Essendon this afternoon. Good luck, Neil.
Good on you, Andrew. See you, Trent.
Thanks, mate. Neil Cordy there from the Daily Telegraph. Now, let's go and talk NRL, if we can. We've got three games. Newcastle Manly, St George play the Roosters, and Melbourne tonight play the Warriors.
Yeah, so with the matches that you've mentioned there, Andrew, so 2 o'clock this afternoon at Hunter Stadium, Newcastle $2.70, Manly $1.50. The line there, well, you've got either 5.5 and 6.5. The margin betting at the end of normal time, the Sea Eagles by 1-12 and 13+, both at $2.85. The Knights 1-12 at $4 and 13+, $6.50. And Brett Stewart and Aquila Iwate share favouritism at $8 to score the first try. The traditional Anzac Day match, just after 4 o'clock at Allianz Stadium. St George Illawarra, $2.10. The Sydney Roosters, $1.80. The line there is 2.5. The margin betting, the Roosters 1-12, $2.75. The Dragons 1-12, $3.10. The Roosters 13+, $4.50. And the Dragons by 13 or more at $5.50. Sean Kenny Dow and Daniel Tupou, the $8 equal favourites to score the first try. And then just after 7 o'clock this evening at Amy Park, Melbourne $1.55, the Warriors $2.50, couple of lines there, the Storm giving away a 3.5 and a 4.5 point start, margin betting the Storm 1-12, $2.75, 13 plus $3.25. The Warriors 1 to 12 at $3.60 and 13 plus at $7. And Marika Korobedi is the $8 favourite to score the first try. So there's the triple header in to complete round 8 of the NRL starting from 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Yep, you'll get updated markets through those at tab.com.au. We're going to go to Hugh Bowman in about 5 minutes or so in Hong Kong after his Queen Elizabeth II win last night in Hong Kong. But the A-League Grand Final, the teams are there. And Trent, it's Western Sydney up against Adelaide United. You've told us Adelaide United is the favourite at 2.15 over Western Sydney at $3.10. Let's get the thoughts of our Monday expert, Matt Windley from News Limited. Yeah, Matty, good morning to you. What are you thinking with those odds? Have they got it right at this stage?
I think so. Morning, guys. I'm still coming down from last night. Did you see what an absolute cracking game that was between Western Sydney and Brisbane Roar? Possibly.
I thought it was another sport, Matt, when I saw 5-4.
Well, I reckon there was almost more goals in that game than there was in the AFL game at the corresponding time at Subiaco between Fremantle and Carlton. It was ridiculous. Western Sydney 3-0 behind inside half an hour. 4-3 up half an hour later, Brisbane get it back to 4-4 for extra time, and then Western Sydney take the win in extra time 5-4. That's just ridiculous. We'll probably go down as one of the, if not the greatest game in the history of the A-League, then definitely one of the top three or four. Incredible, and to happen in a semi-final is just a great advertisement for the sport. Look, probably the goals weren't all worldies. There was some comical defending at times, but great for the theatre, and any doubts as to whether or not there should be a final series in the A-League definitely cast away yesterday, because that's exactly why you have it.
Yes, there was an own goal, a couple of deflections, but the Wanderers fans don't care, and uproarious scenes there at Pertec Stadium last night. The final one there before the ground does get demolished, but just wait for a little bit longer there, Western Sydney, and I think there'll be a few away fans travelling to the Adelaide Oval for the grand final on Sunday. And can't forget Adelaide United as well, Matt. They were outstanding on Friday night against Melbourne City, 4-1, including the brace from Bruce Gittay.
Yeah, they're my tip. They're so well-rounded at the moment. I mean, and it's a remarkable story too. Don't forget that they were sitting on the bottom of the A-League ladder after 8 rounds. They hadn't won a game. And then they went on a 14-game unbeaten run. I think there was 11 or 12 wins in amongst those games. They had a little slip-up at home to Melbourne City in around about round 22 or 23, and they haven't lost since then as well. Deservedly took the Premier's plate. Deservedly won on Friday night against Melbourne City again. It was an even-ish first half. They probably had the better of it, but then in the second half, they stormed home. They're absolutely my tip for the grand final. I mean, I'm not sure what the effect yesterday's game will have on Western Sydney. It can obviously go either of two ways. They can be totally and utterly buoyed because of the win and the way that it happened and go into the grand final firing, or they can be a little bit lethargic because of the 120 minutes that sapped a lot of energy out of them. Not sure which way it'll go, but I think either way, Adelaide still has to be the favourites because they're so solid defensively. They're conceding less than a goal a game on average during this run that they've had since round 8. But you mentioned Bruce Gittay in the last, 10 to 15 weeks. He's been scoring goals for fun. He's almost averaging a goal a game. So that was the only doubt on Adelaide, whether or not they could score enough goals. But the fact that he is now is a massive, massive fillip for them. And, I just think Adelaide will have too much for them. I'm really just interested to see what the crowd will be at the Adelaide Oval. It's the first grand final in the A-League's history outside of the three big cap cities, Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Adelaide Oval, you'd think, as you said, Trent, lots of Western Sydney fans will head across. I know that they're already looking at putting on more flights from Sydney to Adelaide for Sunday. But you'd think the Adelaide fans will get out in force to be a sellout at the Adelaide Oval, and it'll be another fantastic spectacle.
Yes, and with Adelaide United, they were $21 after round 8. That's when they were occupying the bottom spot on the ladder. And since then, they have played 20 times for 15 wins and 4 draws. So it's been outstanding form. Western Sydney have won 3 straight. Just going through the season as well, Matt, they played in round 2 at Cooper Stadium. That was a 1-1 draw. In round 13, they played at Pertec Stadium. That was 0-0. And in round 24 at Pertec Stadium, it was 0-0. So not exactly probably expecting the goals like we've seen over the weekend, but just in regards again to the normal time result betting, Adelaide United $2.15, the draw $3.75, Western Sydney $3.10. To win the grand final, if it needs extra time like it did last night, or a penalty shootout if they have to go to that, Adelaide United $1.65 and Western Sydney $2.20. And there's also the fact, Matt, that we've had 10 grand finals, and only really one true away team has won a grand final. That was Sydney FC when they went on penalties against Melbourne Victory back in 2010. So the Wanderers do have history against them in that respect.
Yeah, they do. I wonder, though, if it's just neutralised a tiny, tiny bit by the fact that it's at the Adelaide Oval and not at Cooper Stadium, because Adelaide obviously only play there once a year, and it's generally speaking their first game of the season against a Melbourne Victory or a Sydney FC, one of the bigger clubs. So the fact that it's not their home ground per se, I wonder if it just neutralises that home ground advantage a little bit. But obviously, yeah, you know, at least 75 to 80% of the crowd will be behind United. You know, they'll all get to be sleeping in their own beds that night and have their own normal match day routine. So those little things help when you're coming up to a big game. You mentioned the three games that they played this year. Yeah, difficult to obviously get a read on it in terms of results, because neither side has won, but neither side has lost. So they'll take a little bit of confidence from that. They've been dour affairs, as you say, in terms of from goals perspective, but it wouldn't surprise me again this weekend if it opens up a little bit and there are goals as both teams chase the win. So, yeah, I can't wait for it already, especially after last night. Whet the appetite for what should be another fantastic final. Most of the A-League grand finals throughout history have been absolutely cracking affairs, so let's hope that this is no different.
Good on you, Matt. Appreciate your time. There'll be plenty of discussion here on Tab Talk right through the week, and we look forward to it. Good on you, mate.
Anytime, guys. Have a great day.
Matt Windley there from News Limited, and confirming the match is on
Sunday, 4 o'clock at the Adelaide Oval.
Okay, looking forward to plenty of discussion on that. Now, what about this last night? Hong Kong. I was watching at home. Fedigam, Sky Thoroughbred Central, had the earpiece in the ear to make sure radio was going all right. And the Aussies just kept coming. They kept coming and coming and coming. And Hugh Bowman got the big group one, the Queen Elizabeth Cup, on Werther. And he's online from Hong Kong. Well done to you, Hugh.
Good morning, Andrew. Thank you very much.
What a night, or what an afternoon your time for the Australians. You ended up winning 7 of the 10. You must have been in a corner doing handstands.
Oh, I was just focused on my job, to be honest with you. I didn't realise that was the case until last night when I was reading through Twitter. But no, it was a good day. Obviously, Zach's going very well over here, and he had a couple of winners, and Brett Preble's going well too, or has been for years. But no, there's a very strong Aussie presence here in Hong Kong at the moment, and it's great to be a part of it.
I think most of us expected, we were looking to the outside around the bend. We were thinking something, you know, with the rain that the track had had, that they'd be sweeping out wide. And then we saw a quick burst of yellow come up the inside, and it... Well, you made them look like they were standing still, Hugh, on Werther.
Yeah, look, he's a quality horse, and the race set up, look, I just got out of the speed battle in the early stages, and the thing about these top-class races, if the pressure's on early, it tends to stay on, whereas the set weight, sort of weight for age racing, it can come back a little bit, the pace, but yesterday was a... You know, it was a very high-class field. There was a strong Japanese presence in the race, and obviously Mike Tocock bought a high-class horse as well. So I rode in the race last year, and I felt this year was a much stronger addition. And, look, I didn't expect Werther to perform at a level that he did, but the fact that he did came at no surprise, and, you know, I thought we saw the best of him with that strong pace yesterday.
Trent is here from tab.com.au. Trent, you were watching it. Fedigam, unbelievable. I'll ask Huey a couple of questions.
Well, Quinny, just in regards to that, we were looking at the race as it was going on, and it was a tremendous victory there, Hugh. And just John Moore, after the race, was asked about where he'll be heading, and next month there'll be the Champions and Charter Cup, and he even mentioned the Cox Plate. But as good as he's been over in Hong Kong, I don't expect you'll be jumping off Werther in the Cox Plate if everything went the right way.
Oh, look, that's a long way away, but the Champions and Charter, I must admit, until yesterday, I had my doubts whether he really wanted a mile and a half. I was just so pleased that I was able to get him to relax yesterday. I mean, that's what really ticked the box for me. In the Derby and even the lead-ups to the Derby, I was riding the horse very tactically. I was making sure I was in a position where he needed to be to win, and probably even brought him undone in the lead-up to the Derby. So, look, I think the horse just needs to be ridden a bit quietly to get him to really switch off. He's a very competitive horse, and, you know, he's he's developed a lot physically too since he's been here in Hong Kong. And, you know, I think John Moore's a master at being able to get his horses to develop and go the right way. And look, physically, he's a much stronger horse now than he was, you know, when I rode him here in December. And I can only see him getting better. And it's a bit of a thing of the Tavistocks. They're just such a good line of horse. We saw the Australian Derby winner by Tavistock. He's still a bit immature physically too. So, you know, he might develop into a cup horse in the spring.
Congratulations to you, Hugh. Now, I know you're going to Japan. You've been there for, the next 3 or 4 weeks, and we see you back in a perfect world on Queensland Oaks Day at Eagle Farm. Good luck with it, Maple. Stay in contact, and well done again on the achievement of last night.
Thanks very much. Appreciate
Good on
it.
You, Hugh. Thank Hugh you. Bowman, early there in Hong Kong. I reckon he would have been out celebrating with the Moors. Well done to them last night with Werther and all the Australian jockeys, who also had a couple of big group wins at Singapore. We haven't been too bad this morning. I reckon we could nearly come back tomorrow, but the big boy will be back, Sean Cosgrove. And Tab Talk is on 7 days a week at 10 o'clock. Yvonne Sampson went all right yesterday too.
Very good. Yeah, she'll be making sure that the weather at Allianz Stadium isn't like it was last year when the Dragons played the Roosters. It was absolutely teeming down with the hail and had to all scurry away there.
I was disappointed with one thing.
Yes, Andrew?
It was a birthday yesterday.
Paul Langer mentioned that.
Oh, did I? I missed that. Well done to you, Paul. Well done to you. I was going to have a go at you. I can't have a go at you now.
And the other thing was, I accidentally said Quinny's day when speaking to Hugh because, of course, Rising Romance, we're keeping an eye on Rising Romance, but Quinny will not have to worry about cracking the eggs and frying the bacon.
But you know what I would do if I was Nick? I'd go and do it anyway.
Yeah.
Thank you, Trent.
Thanks, Andrew.
Trent Langscale, that's it for Tab Talk. We've got the Monday regular, though. We're coming into the big chair, and our studio is Mark Duclos with Going Greyhounds. After 11, Simon Harrison's going to be with you with the early mail. We'll have Peter Ellis, Simon Dinopoulos, our regular. He'll be on at about 11.25, and we go back out to Randwick. But it is obviously a day of memories that we've spoken about this morning. We went to Turkey and spoke with Seb Costello at Anzac Cove, and there's been many dawn services and marches that still continue. Words certainly tell the story, as these words did over the last 101 years.
In Flanders fields the poppies blow, between the crosses row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead, short days ago. We lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow. Loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel.